Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you to another important episode of The New World Next Week, our weekly series that breaks down all of what's going on in the New World Order shell game stage. This week is no exception. Three important stories yet again. We're going to start off with a story from publicintelligence.net asking the question, why is FEMA trying to cover up National Level Exercise 2010? Public Intelligence has received a request from FEMA to remove a for official use only document regarding the upcoming National Level Exercise 2010, NLE 10, which was scheduled for this coming May. The exercise was to be based on National Planning Scenario 1, which simulates a nuclear detonation in a U.S. city. However, recent political pressure has led to the exercise being scaled back, according to the Washington Post, Christian Science Monitor, and a variety of other publications and blogs. At the behest of Senator Harry Reid, Democrat out of Nevada, the exercise's Nevada events have reportedly been canceled, and the FEMA website shows no mention now of NLE 10. On top of this, of course, we had the Obama administration convening the Nuclear Security Summit, where he went on to say that Al-Qaeda getting a nuke is the greatest threat. And of course, we've also heard that homegrown terrorism is just as big a threat as Al-Qaeda. Continuing, NLE 10 concerned itself with exactly that kind of scenario, the detonation of a nuclear device inside a U.S. city. Las Vegas was to be the epicenter of this hypothetical attack, and if the exercise utilized the same circumstances as the aforementioned National Planning Scenario 1, it would have involved hundreds of thousands of casualties, more than 300,000 refugees, and ultimately more than 1 million displaced persons. The unpopularity of such a scenario, regardless of its security benefits, is obvious. What is strange is the attempt that's now being made by FEMA to eliminate references to the exercises and remove from circulation a document that has played an important role in drawing attention to the exercise. So the state of National Level Exercise 2010 is unclear at the moment. It's difficult to say whether the request is truly motivated by security or whether there is a more dubious intention. James?
Well, that's a good question, and obviously we don't know, but it is somewhat worrying that they're trying to cover up the exercise and what's going on. But I know that keeping an eye on the drills is something that you do at MediaMonarchy.com, so I certainly hope people are listening to your podcast to find out what's going on, because as we've noted, as we've both noted many, many times on our respective podcasts, that the drills are often ways to conduit in real attacks, and if we have our eyes on the drills, we may have an idea of what's coming down the pipeline. But again, of course, it's not an exact science, and you never know what drill will be flipped live, and we can only hope that this is not one of those cases.
And that always seems like, you know, we're, of course, you could say a victim of our own, you know, success, that the more attention we draw to these drills, the less chance or opportunity or likelihood there will be of it going live. Just very quickly on this post covering National Level Exercise 10, we do also tie in some of the private military contractors that always seem to show up. And a lot of the same corporations like Booz Allen Hamilton and L3 and folks like Dov Zakheim, and a lot of the shadowy players that all seem to just also play a part in the events of 9/11.
That's right. All right. Well, let's move on to story number two.
Story number two, we're going to hop over to one of my sister sites on cyberspacewar.com. And this goes along, I suppose, with a story we covered recently, and that would be about the FCC losing the net neutrality battle against Comcast. This from Threat Level, Yahoo beats feds in email privacy battle. Yahoo prevailed last Friday over Colorado federal prosecutors in a legal battle testing whether the Constitution's warrant requirements apply to Americans' emails. Saying the contested email would not be helpful to the government's investigation, the authorities withdrew demands for email in a pending and sealed criminal case. For the moment, the move ends litigation over the hotly contested issue of when a warrant under the Fourth Amendment is required for Yahoo and other email providers to release consumer communications to the authorities. So this brouhaha concerned a 1986 law that already allowed the government to obtain a suspect's email from an internet service provider or webmail provider without a probable cause warrant once it's been stored for 180 days or more. The government contended and then backed off last Friday that it could get email less than 180 days old if that email has been read by the owner, and that the Constitution's Fourth Amendment protections don't apply. Yahoo was backed up by EFF.org, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, Google, and the Center for Democracy and Technology in challenging the government's position. James?
Well, this is obviously a very large and complex story in a number of ways, but it's obviously a hopeful sign whenever we win any type of court case like this. But of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that the government isn't reading your emails. In fact, we know that the NSA is collecting all telecommunications traffic going through the U.S. and has been for a number of years, and that was revealed by an AT&T whistleblower, Mark Klein, in 2004, when he admitted that AT&T had a room in one of their telecommunications hubs that was taking all of the traffic going through all of the phone calls, all of the emails, all of the internet traffic, and splitting it off into a secret room that the NSA, only the NSA had access to, and it was copying all of the data and data mining it with special hardware and software. So we know it's going on, and we know that this is only really the scratching the surface of this type of story, but it is good that there are groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation out there that are trying to fight this, and people might know I recently had an interview with one of the members of the EFF, and on my podcast this Sunday, I'm going to be covering this story in a great deal of depth, so I certainly hope people will stay tuned to CorbettReport.com for more on that.
Our third and final story is an interesting one, and we're going to hop over with a quick blurb from Steve Watson writing for Prison Planet, and this just happened this Sunday. A Washington Post columnist who appeared on CBS's Face the Nation described Tea Partiers as potentially violent and decried internet journalism as sort of like terrorism. When asked about her views on the Tea Party by host Bob Schieffer, Kathleen Parker, a Pulitzer Prize-winning commentator who also writes and is connected to the Washington Post, declared it to be dangerous.
Let's go to the video clip.
The internet being the only place, the only vehicle to deliver news that has no editor. You don't know where this stuff comes from, whether it's true or false. And this person said to me, you know, we've always had opinion that comes from various places, like during Lincoln's day, every newspaper had an editorial point of view. But this person said the difference was, in those days, you knew which paper it was coming from. Right. Now you don't know where some of this is coming from, and that is the added factor to the volatility of this stuff.
It's interesting. People will say anything when they have the cloak of anonymity. It's sort of like terrorism. You know, we don't know where to aim our bomb, so we can't go after a country because there are, you know, there's no one place to focus on it. And it's the same thing with the internet. You can't really, you don't know who to go after. And you and I'm sure you share some of the wonderful experiences I've had of being attacked and threatened and whatnot. And it feeds on itself, you know, builds, and people who are not well grounded and who may have these more violent tendencies suddenly find a place where they can convene and find validation and even find company. And I don't know where that all leads, but it's kind of scary.
Oh yes, oh it's scary, isn't it? Oh,
it's scary, but not in the way that they mean. And this is it's just, you know, talking about, oh, we've been attacked because we're real journalists, and all these anonymous people out on the blogs can do whatever they want. Well, I'm here to say I'm James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com, and I'm calling the dinosaur mainstream corporate media out. And I think that their game is up, and that's why they're moving so quickly to demonize the web and to demonize, yes, unfortunately, damaged individuals who glom on to whether it's the Tea Parties or 9/11 Truth or mainline conservatives or mainline Democrats. That's what's going to be the focus, and that's what we're seeing is the demonization of everyone who ultimately dissents against what's going down.
Absolutely, and Ms. Parker, Ms. Pulitzer Prize winner, I'm James Corbett at CorbettReport.com, and give me a call, 512-553-0297, and we'll hash things out. We'll see if we can decide where you want to send your bombs, as you put it. Yeah, this is it's laughable because it shows that the corporate media is being and is continuing to be so discredited, and no one is really buying this stuff anymore. But they continue escalating their attacks, and unfortunately, you're right. It's only the preparation for what will be the cyber false flag that will eventually regulate and control the web. And, well, we'll see who gets the last laugh, I guess. Certainly, as long as the internet is free and open and we're here doing what we're doing, there's no doubt that we are crushing them in the info war, in the peaceful, nonviolent info war, by the way.
Absolutely. The hearts and minds.
Exactly. We are winning the hearts and minds, and they are losing it by lying to people over and over and over again through their teeth every single day. So on that note, James, I'd like to thank you for all the work you're doing. Throw out the websites one more time.
MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.